Welcome to CKFA, where we have conversations around filmmaking. So today's guest is Rosie Dean, the most amazing. Rosie, can you tell us a bit about yourself?
I can. So I started out in the arts, I guess, as an actor, singer, dancer, musical theater gal. I went to college for musical theater, and there I kind of quickly realized that this passion that I had kind of always had for film and watching movies and also like making films was something that I kind of wanted to pursue more in my career. So I, junior year, took a film course and sort of pivoted my path a bit into more film and TV as well as theater. And so now I work as an actor and director and writer and editor, a lot of editing, for film, TV, theater, whatever comes my way, I take.
Yeah, so you started in acting, is what you're saying, in theater and all that. But then you've done this behind, you know, the screen work. So how was that transition for you? And like, how do you feel that that's impacted you as an artist?
Oh, the transition was wonderful. Because I think while I have always really enjoyed acting, I've always felt like there was something I was missing out on with the things I would kind of dream up in my head. And like as an actor, not having the opportunity to bring those things to life. Like I was like, maybe I should be a writer. No, I don't think I'm good at writing. And then I kind of like over the years ventured into directing and producing and eventually became comfortable enough with myself as a writer where I felt like what I had to say was worth saying and all of these things. So it was an exciting transition, but it was also a transition that was filled with a lot of self-doubt. I don't know if other people were judging me or if I just had these voices in my head that I felt other people were judging me. And I'm still dealing with that. Like, that's why I don't write as much as I would like to, because I'm still trying to like battle those voices. But overall, I think the more I venture out into behind the scenes work, the more comfortable I become just as an overall artist. And in turn, I feel like that also informs my acting in a way, because I just feel like I'm more self-assured as a person.
That's what I was gonna ask you. Like, do you feel like it's had a positive influence on your acting?
Totally.
Yeah. So, you know, tell me a little bit about, we've talked about this before, just like being a female filmmaker.
Oh yeah.
And like, what do you feel is your responsibility, or how do you just, what has been your experience not only being on screen but off screen as a filmmaker?
Wow.
I know that's like a huge, broad, all-encompassing question.
It's hard because like I'm grateful for all the opportunities I've been given as a woman, and like specifically in acting I'm super grateful for every role I've had a chance to fill. But at a certain point I started to feel like I was sort of only seen as like pretty girl at party that makes out with lead man. And that was what I would get cast in like consistently pretty much for a long period of time. And I totally like understand that sometimes that role needs to be there and you need to have that pretty girl at the party that makes out with lead man. But I got to a point where I was very frustrated as an actor that these men who were writing these scripts like didn't really see more from me because like casting calls and all this stuff for women, I mean, I'm sure you see it too all the time. It's like not like other girls, sexy but mysterious, 5'6" or below, brunette, and like that's it, and that's all you know about the character. And it's just like, okay, cool, like let me go in and like try to bring life to this person and still get a no because I'm not playing it dumb enough or I'm not playing it whatever enough. And it's just like, I don't know. So at that point I was sort of feeling a frustration in that I don't think women are being portrayed at the point that I would love. So why not make the stories that I think should be told? And I think that's where I'm at a point now where I'm trying to like work on my first film that I'm writing that I think talks about a lot of things that are not often talked about. But it is a difficult line to walk because you don't want to come across too like preachy or too, I don't know, I hate men or anything like that. Yeah. There's not really a separation between like telling women's stories and telling human stories. Like, I think
100%, yeah.
I think that what it is like a lot of people tell human stories and it's missing like a woman's perspective. So I think what I'm excited about is in the stories that we tell, because we frequently work together, and like moving forward, I'm excited to just make sure that all the human stories that we tell have equal perspective. I think that's like what film needs most. Like, and then also we have non-binary voices, we have everybody in the mix. It's like, we should be hearing from the majority of people, not just men.
You know, so. it's interesting what you're saying. Like, I'm just reminded of like something I watched about like SNL and Tina Fey, and her saying like they would bring jokes forward that were like about female experience, and they got turned down for a long time because men just didn't understand or think they were funny. And it was just a misunderstanding, right? So I think it's just the importance of having female voices, because when they finally gave them the opportunity, the jokes landed really well and people were like hysterically laughing. And so that's why it's so important to have like voices like yours just behind the camera as well as in front of the camera, right? Because you can write, you said you're writing stories with female voices that are just human stories. So So Rosie, we have a few rapid fire questions that we like to ask at the end of our segment. So what's the best filmmaking advice you've ever received? Quick.
You know which one I like?
Which one?
Talking about women in film is like that Bechdel test. Like, two women can't be talking about men in a film for too long. You have to be able to have conversations that don't circle around men.
Yeah.
In order for a film to pass the Bechdel test. And I found that really interesting because when I was in college, I wrote this script and I thought it was so good and I was so excited about it. And I brought it to a teacher and she was like, love where you're going with this, but like, you do realize you're talking about men the whole time. And I was like, oh no, like, and that at first, like, made me so sad because I was like, I thought this was it. This was my script. This was my thing. And it kind of like recentered my whole view on writing and like the stories that I want to tell. And it just kind of made me realize like it's very okay to like exist as a woman in a room with another woman and talk about things that are not centered around how men are viewing you or the men, what struggles they're causing for you and like whatever. Yeah. So it kind of opened my eyes about the stories that I want to tell.
I love that, and actually, like, now I'm going to think of that whenever I'm sitting down to write. Yeah. That's great. I love that. All right, let's see. Next question is, what are your top three favorite films? It could be, like, of all time, or it could be, like, of the last decade or the last year, but what's the first three that come to mind?
The first one that comes to mind is a film called On the Count of Three by Jared Carmichael. Co-starring Christopher Abbott, who's one of my favorite actors. I'm really hesitant to watch films that address that stuff because I just don't know like how, I don't know, upsetting it's going to be for me or whatever. But I decided, like, you know what, I'm going to watch it. And I felt as though it was one of the only films I've seen that I truly felt like represented and mental health and mental struggles were properly conveyed and represented on film. I just don't see it often. Another one I really like is, oh my gosh, this is such a hard question.
I know.
I really like Silence of the Lambs, which is an oldie but a goodie.
It is an oldie but a goodie.
It really like paved the way for a lot of really good horror.
I hate horror, but that is a really good film. But
it's really good.
I love that
film.
It's
more of a thriller,
and I'm learning to appreciate horror.
Yeah. So. Oh, and then I guess I'll say my third one is Midsommar.
Okay.
By Ari Aster. Featuring the iconic Florence Pugh. Love that gal. She's amazing. I think that film's really cool. That is my third one, I think. Did I say three?
You did say three. And I love it. I love all three.
Cool.
All right. Last question.
Okay.
Who are your favorites in... You do a lot of things. So in the areas where you're in acting, directing, writing, who are your favorites in filmmaking?
Okay. Really difficult question. But I think I have a few answers, if that's cool.
Yes.
I think my favorite actor right now is Rachel McAdams.
Nice.
And I'll tell you why.
Yeah, I want to know why.
Okay. She does it all. Okay. So the queen can go from the notebook, uh-huh. which is so vulnerable. It's so devastating. It's so raw. And then she can do Mean Girls. And she can be just like Queen Bee.
Yeah.
And then she can go and do Are You There, God, It's Me, Margaret, which we need to watch together.
Yes, that's on the
list. But that's so beautiful and just from the heart. And then she can go and do Game Night, which is one of my favorite comedy movies ever. It's the funniest thing ever. I love her so much. She's just like an absolute versatile legend, and I love her, and like, she's also nice as a human, and she's great.
That's amazing.
I have a lot of respect for Emerald Fennell and Greta Gerwig because they're great writers and they're great filmmakers. They're also actors, and they're also just like multi-hyphenate icons.
Yeah.
And I think that that's really cool. Like, I think people who do more than one thing and do more than one thing very well are always great.
Yeah.
I love Donald Glover for that. Like, I think he's great. He's just like a Renaissance man. Like, I just think it's so cool that people have multiple talents and are able to fulfill their goals within each talent to their fullest, or like to the best that they can, given the time and their resources. And I think that's really admirable. And I love that.
I think that's one of my favorite things about filmmaking. Like, you get on a set and somebody is sound or somebody is light, and then you find out they're a painter and a photographer and an actor and a rapper and a singer, and like that's not always known. So it's beautiful when somebody, like you said, can find success in each of those areas.
People like that are giving me the assurance that it's okay to do many, many things as long as you have the energy to give your all to all of them. That's really hard to do, but at the same time, like, it's what makes life worth living as an artist, is doing all of the things that are outlets for you and that you feel like you're called to do. So it's really exhausting and it's really frustrating, but it's overall very fulfilling, and it's nice to see other artists out there doing the same thing, 100%. Even though it's few and far between.
Yeah, 100%. Well, thank you so much for sharing a glass of wine, coming on the show, telling us about everything you do. So can you just tell us where we can find what you're working on? Let our audience know.
Yeah. Hi. Follow me on Instagram at RosieDean21. I do also have a TikTok, and I used to be very, very active on that bad boy, but I've been slacking. But you can follow me there too, RosieDean21, same deal. But I would like to say thank you for having me at this beautiful CK Cafe. And I am so excited to be part of all the many things that we have going on. And I'm grateful for you. You're amazing. Yay. You're wonderful.
Thank you so much.
Oh my God, of course.
And thank you guys for joining. Talk to you soon.
Okay, bye.
Bye. Cheers.
Cheers. Let's just chug the rest.
No.